It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name's Jet Lacy, J-E-T, like an airplane. We're here, sitting here in the B-E-A, beautiful Freedoms Phoenix Studios here in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. The Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. Again, it's the flagship of everything that we do around here. It's the central gathering point of all of our efforts here at the Freedoms Phoenix Studios. And I just feel so lucky. I say it every day, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, that I feel so very lucky that Ernest put together this studio. And he didn't do it by himself. It takes a community, and that's really what we have here, is a community that is cares about individual liberties and freedoms and divesting ourselves from the oppression that is being brought about by the government. And I do welcome, we're going to go into the End the Fed this hour coming up, and I'm going to have Charlene Holt in here, and we're just going to talk a little bit about, you know, she's going to bounce some ideas. She's a new activist here in Phoenix. And she's a wonderful girl, and we're going to talk about End the Fed, the rallies that are going on around the country in numerous cities, anywhere that has a Federal Reserve facility. And I know there's 12 Federal Reserve banks out there, but that's not all of the facilities they have. Like in Phoenix, we have a money counting facility, and we're going to be talking about the rallies that are going on around the country. We're going to be talking about why it is important to end the Federal Reserve. We're going to talk about Ron Paul's bill, H.R. 1207, that is out there to audit the Federal Reserve, that has over 310 co-sponsors out of 433, I guess, in the Congress, in the House of Representatives. And we're going to be talking about why that is vitally important to the continuation of our society. The Fed is nothing more. The Federal Reserve Bank is nothing more than a giant leech sucking on our neck, sucking out our life's blood. They have turned our money and our dollars into a debt rather than an asset. And in any country's money should be an asset. You say, hey, we got this money. This is what we are. This is what we own. This is how we open up our doors to do business. And the fact of the matter is, since 1913, our dollar has been debased in value 96%. So our dollar of today is only worth 4 cents of what a dollar was worth when the Federal Reserve was created in 1913. And this is important because that was their initial charter, was to make sure the viability of the U.S. dollar, as well as to maintain what they consider, quote, full employment. And if you look around at what's going on in this world today, especially in this country, I would say that they not only just failed in their charter, they have absolutely failed in their charter. They have destroyed this nation. And we're going to talk in the next hour about how the Fed is taking every single thing that you and I own as much as they possibly can. When we come back, we're going to jump right into it. When we get back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show, we'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to the program. My name is Jet Lacy on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. I'm filling in for Ernest while he gets some work done on the Freedom Summit that's coming up December 4th through 6th at the Sheridan here in Phoenix. And we have so many great speakers coming in. We got Dr. Ron Paul. We got Gary Franchi from End the Fed. We got all these different people. We got Adam Kokesh. We got Thomas Woods from the Von Mises Institute. We got Boston Tea Party and Joel Skousen. We got so many people coming in. It's such an event. I'm getting so excited for it. And we're just giving Ernest a little time to finalize some of the things that have to be done in order to get something of that magnitude together. So the thing is, I was, like I said earlier in the show, I was going to be talking about the Hegelian dialectic that is, and how they're using this Hegelian dialectic in order to bring about the, you know, what they want to accomplish with this world, one world government. But we're going to skip that, and I'm going to go into that next week again. We're going to talk about the End the Fed and why it is important, and why Ron Paul has put this through every single Congress since 1983. No one's ever bitten, but now it has really picked up some steam. He's got over 310, I think it's like 311, 312 co-sponsors out of the 433 in Congress. And November 22nd signifies the date that they went down to Jekyll Island. And it ended up being called the Aldrich Plan. So in the Aldrich Plan was the creation of the Federal Reserve because of Nelson Aldrich, member of Congress at the time. He was bought and paid off by the big bankers and J.P. Morgan and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the like that I'm always carrying on about that are at the very epicenter of everything that we have going on. Pretty much, you know, bad in this country. They've really taken their money and usurped the government to a large extent. And but this is not a new thing. It's been going on since 1913 at least. This is the before that actually. This is the third central bank that we've had in the United States. And we are in dire straits because of this Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express. And we got Charlene Holt here that's a new activist here. And, you know, when people are around, we try to throw them in and see what's going on with, you know, see what they're about and what they care about. So I just wanted to give this opportunity to welcome Charlene to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Jet. How you doing?
I'm good. So tell me a little bit about this audit the Fed, end the Fed, the Fed rally that's going on Sunday.
Well, as you know, around the country and here in Phoenix, those of us who are very interested in auditing the Federal Reserve and seeing an end to the Fed in our lifetime, hopefully within the next couple of years, we're going to be rallying at the Federal Reserve Board Cash Processing Facility, and that's happening on Sunday, November 22nd, here in Phoenix. And the location is 1550 North 47th Avenue in Phoenix. So are you going to be there, Jet?
Absolutely. That was actually the very first thing that I ever went to was last year. And I was talking to Ducati Jean, who is sort of getting the thing together for since our man Ed Vallejo is in at the Continental Congress. He usually handles this. So Ducati Jean, the lady, she's been on the show before, and she has been an activist since the Vietnam days, and she has never quit. She's just an amazing individual. And she is getting together with another friend, Mike Duggar, that is going to be handling our little rally. And the first thing, again, I said that was the first thing I ever did as an activist. I signed up for the Ron Paul meetup group in Phoenix, which I didn't know at the time was the first meetup group for Ron Paul in the nation. And that's really ultimately what ended me up here. And I went down, I made my own little sign. I went to Walmart and got a piece of poster board. I didn't know all, you know, how to make a sign. And I just wrote, "And the Fed," and went down there all by myself, and no one, and I didn't even talk to anybody. I was just there to sort of observe and to hold a sign, because I know that the Federal Reserve was bad. I didn't know exactly what was going on in this country all the way yet, but I knew that the Federal Reserve was at the very heart of it. So how do you feel about that, Charlene?
Well, I got in to Phoenix just a few weeks ago from Denver. And my experience has been a couple of these and the Fed rallies so far. And it's a really great time. It's a great opportunity. In Denver, we would go down to the 16th Street Mall because the Federal Reserve is right there on the pedestrian mall in Denver. So you're right in the midst of all the shops and all the people, and the little tram car runs right down the middle. And so we get a really good crowd. And we have the opportunity to get the megaphone out and pass out the DVDs that, of course, all of us as activists have on hand. And it's just been a really good time. We've had a fairly good turnout in Denver. This will be my first and the Fed rally in Phoenix.
You have an actual bank in Denver, don't you? One of the Federal Reserve banks?
Yeah, there's probably something like that, the bank.
Mm-hmm. It's not one of the... I can't remember all the cities that it's in, but, you know, we just have a cash processing facility here. It doesn't even have a sign out front. So people are going to be wondering why that, you know, it's got all these bars and stuff that are, it's very formidable looking building, but there's not a sign to be found on it. And it's sort of not in the greatest neighborhoods, but why do you think that a rally of this type is so important?
Well, I like the rallies because it gives us as activists an opportunity to come together. So not only do we have an opportunity to hopefully present to the public, and once again, when in Denver, there were a lot of folks around, the general public was around. So I'm not sure how it's going to be on a Sunday morning at the Phoenix facility.
Well, I'm talking meat and potatoes. Why are you going to an End the Fed rally?
I am also hoping to get some media coverage because I feel that it's very important to get some YouTubes up, to have just stories, articles that continue to put it in front of the general public. Whether people are actually going to be there, the public will be there that Sunday morning, or it's activists are there. I'm grateful for the fact that we all have cameras these days, and we can shoot these videos and put them up on the various video delivery stations.
Right, and that's great. I appreciate that. But why do you think we need to end the Federal Reserve?
Okay, well that's a different question. Well, why we need to end the Federal Reserve is because the Federal Reserve is a private banking company, a corporation. That actually, that we rent our money system. And so originally, I think, as our Constitution called for the Treasury to be in charge of printing the money. And ever since 1913, we've actually been renting our money system from a private corporation called the Federal Reserve. And as I understand it, Keynes, I think, who was the author of central banking, as a matter of fact, his quote is one of my favorites. He said, "It is by this means, printing money, that government may confiscate the wealth of the people, and not one man in a million will detect the theft." So I think that the system is fraudulent. It is deceiving the people. Most people think that we actually are printing money from our treasury. They don't understand that note, I think, that we call dollars, is actually being rented, that we pay interest. And of course, the interest on these Federal Reserve notes is not actually printed by the Federal Reserve. And so the system results in perpetual debt. We will never get out of debt to the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, I mean, because our money is now, especially now that it's a fiat system, which means our money is backed by absolutely zippo. Our money is backed by nothing other than the faith and good credit of the people of the United States of America. And, you know, we got a lot of faith. There's, you know, we've been carrying this world in a long time, and we've been a part of this world and doing what we need to do. However, we don't have a lot of credit left. And the fact of the matter is because we don't have control over our own money. I'd like to thank you for stopping in and talking to us, Charlene.
Well, thanks a lot, Jet, and we'll look forward to seeing you there. And don't forget to wear your V for Vendetta mask. You can get it from Morpheus here in the workshop.
All righty, then. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
When we come back on Declare Your Independence, the Ernest Hancock Show, with me, Jet Lacy, today, we'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name's Jet Lacy. I'm sitting in for Ernest, giving him a little morning off. So we're getting back into the we're going to talk about the Federal Reserve and why we need to get rid of this beast that's on our back. And there's a lot of talk that's going around about how the Federal Reserve is a parasite. And I think we sort of touched a little bit on it when Charlene was in. Just talking about how the Federal Reserve takes and takes and takes from us and doesn't give back. And there's no coincidence that the Federal Reserve and the income tax was both created in the same year, 1913. And a lot of people are surprised to find out, sadly, I'm sure, that the Federal Reserve and the federal income tax that you pay on your paycheck every day, or, you know, every hour you work, every day, every paycheck, zero of that money goes towards government functions, helping you, Social Security, giving, you know, making this country a better place. Absolutely every penny of it goes towards servicing the debt, which is now the interest on the debt alone is like $4 trillion, I guess. I was reading it earlier today. It's just ridiculous amounts of money. And this is why I feel so strongly about Ron Paul. This is the very cornerstone of why I believe in Ron Paul and what he is trying to accomplish. And I am so thankful that he is coming to the Freedom Summit, and I'm going to get a chance to interview him, hopefully. I've got a plan that I'm working out with Ernest that I do impersonations, and I'll do voices now and again. I like to do a little bit of comedy, and once I get a little bit more comfortable, I'll probably start doing a little bit more comedy-oriented things. I'm really learning how to be a radio host now, and I'm starting to get where I really enjoy it, and I think it's going to take off. But the whole reason why Ron Paul ran for Congress in the first place was August 15th, 1971, when Richard M. Nixon came on the air and told the American people that they were separating the American dollar fully from the gold standard and taking us fully out of the Bretton Woods Agreement. And that prompted Ron Paul, who was at that point a physician, an OBGYN. He had been an Air Force surgeon. That prompted him to run for Congress the first time. And he spent a few terms in Congress, went back to being a physician, and then decided to run for Congress again. And he really is the one beacon of light that is in our Congress anymore. Everybody else has an ulterior motive. When I heard Dr. Paul say, I don't want to, you know, the reason I want to be president is because I don't want to run your lives. I want you to run your lives. I don't want to run the economy. I think the economy can run itself. I'm not qualified to run your life or the economy. And we just, you know, we need to get out of this empire building. We need to get out of this warmongering that we have gotten ourselves into. Do you know how much money is spent on the killing of others and the conquest of others, the building of the corporations in your name and with your money? If you understood that, either you don't care or you would be shocked. I just can't believe that we are spending the amount of money on the military and the empire building that we do. And there's over a million dead Iraqis that we have killed since we have been in Iraq. And that's only been like 7 years. So is that something that we should be proud of? I'm not proud of it. But I hope to hear from some of you at 1-800-313-9443, which is the RBN call-in number, 1-800-313-9443. I know, again, I'm a little bit different than Ernest. I like to hear from you. I like to knock around ideas a little bit. I like to engage my fellow man because I really am a person that cares about my fellow man. I'm interested in their opinions and what they have to say. So I really urge people to call in, throw it down. I'd like to keep it on the Federal Reserve, but I'm willing to take whatever. You know, I just like to talk to you. But I want to talk about the Federal Reserve and how these things that are being done to us don't need to be. And we are getting closer than we ever have. We're waking the masses up as to what exactly is being done in our name and by our banking system to us. And we can get into this deeper when we get back. We got just a minute before the break, but we got a long segment. I'm going to play a little clip from you about ending the Fed. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. I hope to hear from you. And we're going to just break this down as to why it is important that you attend these rallies that are going to be going on around the country on Sunday, November 22nd, the nationwide End the Fed rallies. When we get back, we're going to dive headfirst into this, and we're just going to break it down, and that's what we're going to do. So we'll be right back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. My name's Jet Lacy.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. With terrorist crap, after that got slapped with a Patriot Act to prevent or avoid threats of any future attack. They could ransack your home, tap your phone, and take you to Guantanamo Bay at any moment. Welcome back to
Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet, J-E-T, like an airplane, Lacy, and I'm sitting in for Ernest, and we are talking about the reasons why the Federal Reserve, which is the central bank of the United States, needs to be abolished. And the fact of the matter is, it's been a beast on our back since its inception in 1913. And there is a nationwide rally that is always on the anniversary of the event when they got the Federal Reserve together. And in Phoenix, Arizona, where I live, we have a Federal Reserve Board cash processing facility at 1550 North 47th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. And you can look up on the meetup groups. And if you don't live in Phoenix, Arizona, which many of you don't, you can look up on your own meetup.com groups and find out where yours is going to be. Or you can go to the endthefed.com website. There's going to be marches and protests at every single Federal Reserve facility in the United States, including New York City, Washington, D.C., Boston, Philadelphia, Buffalo, New York, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Pittsburgh is on the November 21st, which is Saturday, Richmond, Virginia, Baltimore, Charlotte, North Carolina, Atlanta, Birmingham, Alabama, Jacksonville, Florida, Miami, Nashville, New Orleans, Chicago, Milwaukee, Milwaukee is carpooling to Chicago. There's people there. Then the Milwaukee and the Fed Group. Detroit, St. Louis, Little Rock, Arkansas, Louisville, Kentucky, Memphis, Tennessee, Minneapolis, Helena, Montana, Kansas City, Denver, Oklahoma City, Omaha, Dallas, El Paso, Houston, San Antonio, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Portland, Salt Lake City, and Seattle. And for that, that's the full list of everywhere there's going to be. So if you live anywhere near any of those cities, I highly urge you to go down and talk to just find out some information. Go see what the Federal Reserve is all about. There's going to be people there that are more than willing to give you information about what is going on with our Federal Reserve and why it is so important. According to the Constitution, the Congress has given the authority to create a system of weights and measures, which is important, and to coin money. There's never, Charlene was talking about printing money. There is no provision in the Constitution to print money. The founding fathers had intended on a gold-backed currency, because these problems that we're experiencing with our monetary system at this point are not new. Excuse me. They're not new. These are things that have been going on since forever. I mean, you look at in Jesus' day, that he went and flipped out and overturned all the money changers' booths in the temples because they were doing wrong. This is not a new concept. This is not a new issue. This is just one of those things. And again, like Ernest always says, when they call it a revolution, because it always comes back around. And we are in the midst of a revolution right now. The revolution has already started, whether you want to understand that or not. There is a revolution going on in this country right now. Because, again, as Ernest always says, a revolution always begins in the mind. And there is a lot of people in this country at this point that just simply don't want to participate with what our government is up to right now. There's too many things that are going on that are being done in our names and done to us that we just simply do not want to participate any further, because the system has gotten so out of hand and so stacked in the favor of the big corporations and so against the individual, which the founding fathers, as well as myself, yours truly, feels that is the most important aspect of any society, the individual. Excuse me. And, you know, the power structure of our government is supposed to be set up in an upside-down pyramid. At the top is the very broadest number, which is the people, is supposed to be at the power apex. And at the nadir, at the bottom, is supposed to be the government, which is supposed to be the servants to the people. And the pyramid has actually been turned upside down, like it is in a lot of other countries, and this didn't happen overnight, and these problems that we're experiencing aren't going to be fixed overnight. However, we have to practice diligence. We have to practice educating our fellow man. We have to get out there and let, when we got all kinds of signs, you know, Ducati Gene that came by today before the show, and we're talking about, and the Fed before the show, and we're looking to see if we have any signs, you know, that are still left, or if we're going to have to make some more signs, because we don't mind. What, it costs like a quarter a piece to cut up a piece of whatever and do some spray painting on it. That is a vote. We vote with a sign. We vote with our voice. We vote every time we hand out a DVD. We vote every time we hand out a pamphlet. We vote every time we stand out on a street corner and speak about what is important to us. So these are the things that, you know, that you can do outside of the ballot box, which I find to be largely ineffective because the fact that the ballots are electronically counted and they can manipulate those numbers as they see fit. You know, that's why you keep having all these contested, you have these contested elections all the time, because it should be a paper ballot where they're hand counted, which is the only way to assure, to be sure that each individual's vote was counted, but they don't do that anymore. So I want to get to a clip that I have about and the Fed and the and how it's bringing about the economic collapse. It's sort of an amalgamation of all these different people that are speaking about why we're in the shape we're in. So I'm going to play that. It's about 6 minutes long, and then we're going to come back and talk about it.
We're warning people about very serious things that are happening in the world. We have the Anglo-American establishment based in England and the United States that has enslaved our people. And they are using our wealth, our military, our name to carry out this globalist empire, this unipolar world, instead of having a multipolar world. And in the PNAC documents, Dick Cheney, the vice president and others called for a new world order or a global government controlled by the United States and England, but at the expense of the American people. This is an engineered implosion, and now out of it, the Anglo-American establishment based in London, D.C., and New York has announced what we said years ago they would announce. They need a global consortium run by central banks worldwide who then set the price of currencies, or a global currency worldwide, giving them total control. So they engineer the crisis, they create the problem, regardless of whether it was on purpose or not, we know it was, but regardless, they create the crisis, and then they come in and offer the solution, which is giving them unlimited capital, unlimited control, unlimited power over world markets to now create a tripolar, a global currency regulated and controlled by them.
Good evening, everybody. President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis. President Obama said globalization can be an enormous force for good. Prime Minister Brown again pushing for what he calls a global new deal paid for by the United States.
F.A. Hayek won the Nobel Prize in 1974 for basically saying that if you have a central bank like the Fed that's established by the government, has all these government-granted monopoly privileges, and it forces interest rates below the level that the free market would have set them, it sets the economy on an unsustainable boom. It sets investors out on investment trajectories that cannot be completed. There aren't enough resources to complete them. And so he predicted that there would be inevitably a bust. And a lot of these economists predicted that, of course, the bust would then be blamed on capitalism, as if it's the free market's fault that the government's crummy central bank forces interest rates below where the market would have set them. If we let the market set interest rates, you don't have these crazy asset bubbles. Meanwhile, we've had the Federal Reserve both in the 20s and today inflating these crazy bubbles, and now we've had probably the biggest asset bubble in world history, and they're all claiming they have no idea what caused it. I mean, talk about blockheads.
Prashant, I expect to see social unrest, civil unrest in the United States a couple of years from now. Yes, it's changing the entire situation in the United States. The United States is the largest debtor nation in the history of the world. There is a dramatic sea change taking place. The world's center is moving from the west to the east to Asia, and many people have not figured this out yet, especially people in the United States. No, you're going to see a lot of turmoil in the United States in the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Putting food on the table is going to be more important than putting gifts under the Christmas tree. We're going to go into the worst depression since the worst than the greatest depression, the Great Depression.
Wow. Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express, but yet it has the power to determine the direction of use of money in our economy. If we could take that power back and put the Federal Reserve under Treasury, we start to be in a position of being able to control monetary policy on behalf of the United States people.
Who owns the Federal Reserve?
It's secret, and we can't find out what's happening. But the Congress created it, and it's not authorized in the Constitution.
The government borrows money from a private corporation using the name Federal that prints United States on it, and then it pays back to the Fed, which is owned by private banks. We don't know who all those private banks are. The money that the government is paying back to the private bankers is the money that comes from you and me.
I think it begins with our own central bank, the Federal Reserve, which 4 years ago created excess liquidity, created excess money. That created global excess liquidity, started a commodities boom, and really destructively spilled over into the housing market, where everyone figured, why not let lending standards come down? Because after all, housing prices always go up, don't they? So that started it.
How much are taxes in our scenario of 2014 to pay for all the stuff that we're doing? How much are taxes?
If we tried to pay for all of the spending we've done, and just the last 18 months with higher tax rates, the Heritage Foundation and other groups have estimated the tax rates at the top would have to go to 80, 90, perhaps even 95%, which means that 95% of everything you make would have to go to the government just to pay for what we've already spent money on.
Gerald, what happens to the people when you start taxing?
Like tax revolts. This is going to be violent. People can't afford it anymore. Okay. Look, the cities are going to look like Dodge City. They're going to be uncontrollable. You're going to have gangs in control, motorcycle marauders. You're not going to have enough police or federales, just like Mexico, to control the situation.
Should I sell or hold out for a market increase? Peter?
Well, you know, it's going to be difficult. You know, unfortunately, what the government is doing, they're in the process of turning this recession into a depression. It's going to last for a long time. And unfortunately, the bear market in stocks, which has been going on since 2000, is going to continue for many, many years. But what she has to understand is that the bear market in the bonds, which hasn't even begun yet, is likely to be even worse over time. So I think in the long run, Americans are going to lose even more money in bonds and in cash than they will in stocks.
That's right, criminals. We're not going to take this lying down because we know that you have engineered this crisis and that through the central banks that you have debased our dollar and you're turning us into a banana republic in order to rebuild the world as you see fit. I call it the spring cleaning theory. You know, when you go do your spring cleaning in Phoenix, Arizona, we're doing our spring cleaning now because we've been hunkered down all summer. And we, when we do our spring cleaning, what you do is you take everything out of your closets, everything out of the shelves, everything out, and then you clean it all up, and then you rebuild it in the way that you want to. And that's exactly what's been being done with the world economy right now. It is being broken down by design, by an engineered crisis, in order to bring about, to tear everything down so that they can build it back up. If you listen to the news, they always have certain phrases that they talk about. They always have certain catchwords, and they're talking about global governance. They talk about a global currency, a basket of currencies being the main currency for the rest of the world, because they have to break us down in order to get that, because we are the dominant currency in the world. And in order to change that, they have to change everything. And so you have to start asking yourself at this point, from, you know, if you're looking at your member of Congress, and, you know, they could very well be trying to protect the Fed. There's all these different people that are protecting the Federal Reserve and saying that it's the right thing to do. You have to ask yourself, why are they doing that? What would be in their interest in order to protect the Federal Reserve? Because according to the Constitution, they don't have any right to even exist. But they did it anyway, and this is just a long list of many usurpations, like they were talking about in the Declaration of Independence. If you take the Declaration of Independence, I would urge you to take a look at the Declaration of Independence and change out the word King George with the banks and corporations, and you will see some glaring similarities as to what is going on then and what is going on now. When we get back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to finish this up and wrap it up into a nice, neat package here. And my name is Jet Lacy, and we're tearing it up today on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacy. God, I love Metallica. That's another story for another day. We are talking about the end of Fed, but first, before we finish up here, I want to talk about, real quickly, about the Survival Seed Bank. We talked a lot about with Tom James earlier about hemp powder, but we need to talk about survival seeds and heirloom seeds and how important they are with all this, you know, these hybrid seeds, and we talked about genetic engineering earlier in the first hour, that someday, and Tom James actually talked about it, that they're going to outlaw non-hybrid heirloom seeds. So it's important that you get your seeds today. One of their packets will grow an acre of renewable food source every year. And did you know that the global elite are storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Do you know that in a real meltdown, you can't eat gold and silver, people, but you can eat seeds that you grew your own business with? You know, you grew your own food, you grew your own everything, and then that is life. That is life-sustaining. So I urge you to buy some seeds from SurvivalSeedBank.com or give them a call at 877-327-0365. So remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. Now we got the paperwork and the ads out of the way. We're going to go back to talking about the Federal Reserve. And Ron Paul and Senator Jim DeMint wrote an opinion piece yesterday. It actually came out on the Wall Street Journal about Americans deserve a transparent Fed. And the thing is this is just between you, me, and the fence post, but Ron Paul has put in an end the Fed bill every single year, and he got absolutely nowhere with it. He just worked to outright ban it. But he actually took a different approach this time, just to audit, because our Federal Reserve, who has absolute control of our money supply, that is from a private bank, a private corporation run by private owners, of the same ancestors of the same people that created it in the first place, have never been audited. Do you know that we don't know if or when or how much gold that we have in Fort Knox? We don't know. The Federal Reserve has never been audited. So I urge you to go to the Wall Street Journal and take a look at the op-ed piece from yesterday from Ron Paul and Jim DeMint, and it talks about exactly why the Federal Reserve needs an audit. But the fact of the matter is, just between you and me again, is that Ron Paul knows that if the American people got hip to what the Fed is doing through an audit, it would automatically be disbanded and taken away. So that's really his motivation. He knows that if we got our hands on this information, that we would be up in arms overnight. Actually, Ford, not the president, but the car magnate, he said that if Americans were aware of monetary policy, there would be revolution overnight, and he said that in the 30s. So nothing's changed from today than there was then. It's just that we don't have as much to give. Our host, which is our government, and our people are running dry. And without that, you know, we don't have any more to give these people because there's nothing left to take. So they're going to try to make the whole world their host. And I urge you to go out to your End the Fed rallies on Sunday and hold a sign or just go out and try to find out some more information, because it very well could help you in more ways than you could ever understand. We'll see you soon.